Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is the one and only. You guessed it. You're familiar with this awesome dude, the producer, Pat Hamilton.
What's up, man?
Hey, and Chris, the man. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Now this boy's got talent.
Oh, he's got some serious talent.
He's got some skills.
Oh, he's got some mad skills. Remember when he used to say, I don't have any talents?
I know. He shouldn't have said that.
Oh, he should not have said that.
That's right. That?
Yep. God, I don't have any talents. God can't use me. It's like, are you kidding me? Now he's like, you know, audio guy extraordinary. I can't even list all the stuff he does. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing.
It's gone. Amazing. That's all I can Absolutely. Say, brother. That's all I can say. I was actually talking about that last night. You know, it's just amazing what God has done. You know, and that's all I can do is give credit to God.
That's right.
That's so cool, dude, because when we get dangerous and we actually think we know something, like we're going to do something for God. It's like, no, you're not ready yet. You know, like, right. Back and it's like, no, I don't know how to do nothing. Even the thing I thought I know how to do, I really don't know how to do that either. And what you see is just the miracle of God. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
This is just God doing what he's doing.
Exactly. That's right.
It's so cool. If you're joining us in the extra hour, my goodness, you want to make sure you catch the first hour. We had a great time talking about, you know, God's news behind the news and the expected nomination of Defense Secretary, who's going to be nominated, Chuck Hagel. Of course, he still has to go through Senate confirmations, but it's expected that he's going to be nominated today. And we just talked about Israel. We're willing to take a stand. Willing to take a stand. Willing to take a stand for God and letting your light shine. It's so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important because Very if God's good. Giving you a light and you're not letting it shine, I mean, are you really living for the purposes of God?
Right.
You know, are you really using what God's given you for his glory? And we got to come to a point in our walk with God that, you know what? My life, his glory. Mm-hmm. Not my life, my glory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But my life, his glory, that what I do, whatever that is, and whatever capacity that I'm involved in every single day, whether it be work, family, your finances, your relationships, whatever, your resources, your things, that everything that I touch, that I have influence over, is always going to be with the idea and the understanding that I want God to be glorified in it.
That's right.
And these days, a lot of people are looking just to glorify themselves. You know, how I can look better, more popular, get more favor, look, you know, whatever. And it's like, wait a minute. When we become a believer in God, you know, it says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And we're talking about maturity. We're talking about growth. And when we grow in God, we realize that God blesses us, not just, you know, for our sake, but we want to do something with the blessing. We come to the realization when we grow in God to say, you know, God, you've been so exceedingly and abundantly good that I just want the world to know that I just want to live the rest of my life as a thank you. I mean, if you did nothing else, if you did not answer another prayer request, you know what I'm saying, another concern,
right.
You've done enough.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You've done enough. And I'm willing to live the rest of my life as a thank you to you because you're just that amazingly good. And the quicker we get there, I think the quicker that we begin to honor the Lord in an amazing, amazing way, that we grow in maturity and we really start fulfilling the purposes that God had designed us when he knit us in our mother's womb.
Right.
You know, that you're not an accident. The way you walk, mm-hmm. talk, breathe, look, and act, the things that make you you, is because God had a purpose and you know, a plan for your life. So we're talking about letting your light shine. You know, we want to let our light shine in the darkest of places. In the darkest of places. And you may be discouraged because you've been gathering with other light. You know, light, yeah. light, light, light. How's right. your light? Oh, my light's cool. What color is your light? You know, how bright is your light?
All right. Like, what color geez, is your light?
Yeah. Can you stop quoting scripture? Take those scriptures to the dark places, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I read the Bible too. You know, it's like, and it's just like all this light amongst light. It's like, okay, do we need, what do you say? What does a good father say when he walks in the house? Do we need all these lights on? Turn exactly. these lights on.
All the time.
Do we need all 50 lamps on right now? Do we need everything on? It's mm-hmm. unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary because the light doesn't belong with more light. Mm-hmm. Light belongs in the darkness.
Yeah.
And when this light belongs in darkness, it's supposed to show the love of God. Because let me tell you something. God loves people. His heart burns for people. I mean, he Jesus came for people. He died for people. He rescued people. You know what I'm saying? The only thing we could take to heaven is people. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's all about people. And God loves them. And we play a segment kind of often on VFN Radio. But again, it's important because we need to be reminded. Not only do we be reminded, but so many are joining us on VFN Radio on a daily basis. You may or may not have heard of who does God love? And if you heard this once, you need to hear it over again. Because when we truly understand that God really loves everyone, it's amazing the type of biases, the type of things that the ugliness that can creep into our heart. That we say, you know, mm-hmm. someone else is called to go to those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll let my light shine here in this little corner. Like, no, 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 no. God loves everyone. Mm-hmm. And we got to get a heavenly perspective instead of a carnal perspective. We have to stop seeing with our own natural eyes and begin to start seeing people through the eyes of God. How does God see them? And I tell you, when you start looking at people through God's perspective, through God's, everything changes. You go through a supermarket, or you go through a store, or you go through a certain situation, you know, a certain place mm-hmm. where there's a lot of people, and you start looking at them. How does God feel about that person?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how any kind of just ideas that are not godly about them just begin to melt in front of them. You realize God loves them. And if God loves them, I think I should love them. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to listen up, listen to this segment. It's called Who Does God Love? We come back, we'll kind of talk about it some more and just share and just soak on this. Listen up.
I want to talk about this morning, you know, before we're, you know, time, of course, moves quickly as we are speaking, but this is so important. We have some things we want to unfold because you need a foundation in your life. You need to know our foundation. Of course, a foundation is different than a cornerstone. A cornerstone is what you build off of. A foundation is what you lay down. And people say, well, your foundation is Jesus Christ. No, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything is laid with the plumb line of the cornerstone. And so our foundation is God's word. You know, what he says about everything. It's not, oh, just Jesus. Like, no, it's Jesus is what Jesus says. You know, and so in this in one aspect of that, you know, and you're hearing this kind of laid down some of those foundations so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. It's important because there's nothing more evil than a religious spirit, and a religious spirit hears things differently, mm-hmm. and they begin to accuse in a way when somebody else was just talking about what is, but then God's perspective of that, or looking, searching out what God's perspective is. The question, this is a very, very important question that I want to just think about and just begin a conversation about, and it's so important to know the answer to this question because it'll change how you handle everything. How you relate to your family, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to your parents or your kids or your boss, or how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your people that are in your church gathering or not, how you relate to people who are in other religions. You know, it's so we got, this is the question. The question is, who does God love? Who does God love? I mean, you think about that. That's such an important question, because when you look around, you start, everybody, you know, who don't understand what we're going to talk about, what I'm going to be talking about, is that if you look at them, it seems like they're saying God loves them. You know, they're saying, this is what they're saying. They're saying, God loves me. God loves me. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. and then when they express everything else, it's like, and God hates you. Mm-hmm. And it'll change your perspective when we begin to answer that question, you know, who does God love? And when we find this out, it'll cause you to look at the news differently. It'll cause you to look at people differently, men differently, women, children, people of other ethnic groups differently, people of other nations differently, people of other political affiliations differently. I mean, everything's different. It's totally different. If you got to get this, because, you know, one of the foundational truths that we talked about is like, who are you calling good? And you can go to VFN TV and watch that. You need to watch it, because if we don't get past this, that revelation is that you go around trying to be good and you aren't. And so you're constantly defeated and everybody thinks you're good. And so they don't look to good himself, which is God. And Jesus said, who are you calling good? When they called him good teacher, the only one good is God. And so you can see that on VFN TV. Now, the question that we're asking is, you know, who does God love? And if you really talk to people who are caught up in oppression and a religious spirit of the land, that a lot of people claim to be related to God or to a God, but they don't feel loved by God. You know, and that's the one thing the enemy wants to destroy, is the question and the answer to the question, who does God love? Mm-hmm. Here's the answer. God loves mankind. Mm-hmm. That men, everybody that you've ever seen before in your life, everybody that you're ever going to see, and people that you're seeing now, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. No matter what they're doing, what they have done, that he loves them. Mm-hmm. Which is you. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped loving, quote, them, unquote. He loves mankind. I mean, he tells us, you know, while we were yet sinners, while we were just cursing his name, while we were refusing to hear anything he had to say, while we were living our life totally opposite of him, even creating new versions of what we called him that wasn't him, he still was madly in love with us and is madly in love with you. Mm-hmm. Not madly. I don't like that word. He is deeply in love with mankind. And so what is while we were yet a sinner, while we were, well, and a sinner, sin means missing the mark. And the mark is God's laws, God's commands. And God says, this is the way it's going to go. And so sin means we don't do it God's way. That's sin. Mm-hmm. And every man has sinned and fallen short. And so when we were doing things not God's way, intentionally or unintentionally, God loves us. God loved us and God loves us. It means that God's love for man and women who are held captive by a religious spirit and even seem to be hateful, that God loves them. God loves hateful people. Right?
Yeah.
It means that God loves the church leaders that seem to have sold out for political correctness and now skipped over the parts of God's word and truth that cause people to feel uncomfortable. They've compromised God's word. Mm-hmm. God loves that man. God loves that woman. While we were yet a sinner. You have to understand, if you misunderstand this, you'll begin to be a religious person. instead of a message person, this is delivering the God's message of love to mankind. It means this. What does that mean? It means that God loves the man and woman who is sought to profit financially by establishing an organization or joining an organization, religious, that have used it to transfer finances of God's people to fuel their lavish lifestyles, their mansions, their planes, their luxury vacations, while God's people are deceived in giving towards that and trying to scrimp and eke out a living even to pay their rent. I mean, we got to get this. We're trying to build a dimension of God's love here.
Right.
We have to understand this. This is God's not delivering religion. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. Love is what will get you to willingly say, I will put myself on the cross. What does it mean? It means that God loves men and women who struggle with, who have given themselves over to the gay or lesbian lifestyle, including those who chose to be married. I mean, you see people today, they're yelling, hey. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's not the message of God. It's not gonna help. You just made them seem like they're hated by God. And the truth is they're loved by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It means that God loves Americans who vote and those who don't vote. He loves Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and whatever party that's out there.
Right.
This is important because you're hearing people hate people who don't think like them. And then they migrate God's, they lie about God, saying God hates them too because I hate them.
Right.
And God loves. Who does God love? While we were yet a sinner, God... Wait a minute, what does that mean? That means that God loves mankind. Well, he loves mankind. What does that mean? The people that you hate, he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If you do hate. I mean, hopefully when we finish here, you'll become a believer, you know, and right. Leave your religion and get into a relationship with the God who loves you. It means that God loves that tattooed and or pierced man or woman. And he even loves the one who never tattooed themselves or pierced themselves. He loves them both the same. That's what it means. Mm. It means God loves the presidents in the world. God loves kings. God loves queens. God loves dictators. God loves socialists, Marxists, and communists.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said, I can't believe you're not a, and he named a party, and it's like, that's God's party. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Don't even put that on God.
Who does God love? God loves Jews, Arabs, Chinese, Spaniards, Germans, Indians, Russians, Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, Africans, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Hungarians. He just loves all of us. God's not in your box. Listen, if we want to save this country, mm-hmm. It'll begin with understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're divided now. Because religion said that God loves this person, but doesn't love that person. And so we don't deliver God's message of love that brings people to a loving God. It means this. It means that God, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. What does it mean? It means that God loves Muslims. God loves Hindus. God loves Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientologists, and all the many, many different people religious. Who have a different, yeah. Because mm-hmm. They're human beings created right. In the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I mean, if any point if any point, this is not biblically or doctrinally correct, because we are not, why should we even have this country as Christians? Why should we say, hey, this is a Christian nation, when we don't even minister the love of God? It means God loves your ex-wife and your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
God's not buying into your ex-spouse's evil. God loves your ex-spouse. And the way that you're ridiculing your kid's father in front of them, ma'am, is not a witness of the love of God.
Mm.
God loves your children's father. It means that God loves absent fathers' children. It means that God loves the man or woman who is addicted to alcohol, drugs, and who continually seems to squander every attempt for them to be rescued because the addiction pulls them back on the street. Listen, God loves that man. God loves that woman. It means that God loves the victims of crime, but he also loves the suspects in the crime.
Mm.
It means that God loves everyone in prison, including the warden, the guards, the cooks, the prisoners, and the visitors. It means that God loves the abuser and the abused. It means that God loves men and women who have skin color that's different than yours. It means that God loves women and men and children all the same. It means that God loves the oppressed and the oppressor. It means that God loves the man and the woman who sits lost in the crowd of a man and a woman who stood in front of the crowd for years teaching the word of God the very same way. You can't see them in the back, but God loves them the same.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves the one who stayed faithful in God for years and hasn't given their life over to sin, but it also means that God loves the prodigal son and daughter who once walked with him. The presence of God's people, even though they walked in it at one time and they squandered their life for sexual sin and self-indulgence, whatever it is, God's in love with the backslider. That's what it means. It means God loves the man and the woman who sits hours after hours behind computers, mobile devices, and cell phones, filled with lust in their heart for sexual images that are just all over the internet. It means that God loves the Christian man and the Christian woman who wants to walk right before God, but they just keep falling again and again, over again, and wiping themselves off and resetting themselves again and say, you know, I'm going to follow God. I've failed, but I'm going to follow God. It means that God loves the ministers who profess to be spreading his kingdom, but in reality, they're building their own kingdom.
Mm.
It means that God loves those who cheat on their taxes and those who pride themselves on paying every dime. It means that God loves the man or woman who uses their God-given gifts such as music, prophecy, speaking, deliverance, healing for means, for profit, for financial gain. But it also means that God loves the man and the woman who uses it rightly.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves your enemies. And when Jesus tells us in chapter 5, 43 through 44, he tells us, you know, that he's asking us to do the very same thing that he does himself. He says, listen, he says, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, this is Jesus who you profess to follow. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of our Father in heaven. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself.
Mm-hmm.
When we get this truth, the revelation of God's love towards mankind, it's going to be easier for you to forgive those who sinned against you. It's going to be easier for you to love those that are difficult to love. It's going to be easier to experience loss and persecution without retaliation. For us to retaliate, we're retaliating against that man or woman that God loves.
Mm.
For us to hold unforgiveness towards somebody, we're holding unforgiveness towards someone that God loves. That's why he says, if you forgive, I'll forgive.
Mm-hmm.
How can we hate the one God loves and claim that we're sons of God? when we're hating the one he loves. It means that God's love for us is for all of us while we were still sinners. And that means what? Not doing things God's way. He loved us so much. Every one of us. That he died for us. He died for you. Why did he do that? Because he needed to be a sacrifice. Something had to be done. He loved you so much, and there was an issue between, there was a distance between you. There was something, there was this chasm between you and the one that loves you, and it had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with, because he loves you so much, it had to be dealt with by taking his son whom he loved to be a sacrifice for you. A payment had to be made. There had to be a payment. It's like, I love my son, but I love you too. I love this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this child. And I love all these nations. I love, there's a chasm between us called sin, and it has to be dealt with, but it's not them. It's the sin. And I love them. I don't love that thing that separates me from them because I want to be with them. So as the adversary seeks to divide men and women, nation from nation, kingdom against kingdom, know that despite all man is doing to divide and conquer mankind, that God is still seeking to unite us, to unite mankind, whom he loves, with himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fall prey to the adversary's tactic that tells you God hates, and you fill in the blank. The category of a person. Because it's not true. God loves them. For God is love. He so loved the world. That's us, mankind. That he gave his son. Whoever. That's all of us. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but we can be with him forever. We'll have eternal life. Why? Because he wants to be with you forever. He loves you so much. I don't care, ma'am, what religion told you. God loves you. Don't take your life, Idaho. 7% of the children, they're going to school, that you've been surveyed, and they say that you want to end your life. Don't end your life. That's the devil. God loves you. You're struggling with your sexual identity. God loves you. I know religion said that God hates you. That's the devil speaking through them. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. Our distance from the one who loves us, God, is not measured in miles and feet and inches. I mean, imagine being in love with that which you're in love with, that person, and that there's something between you, and all of a sudden you begin to hate that thing that's between you. You don't hate the one you love. You're wanting to get everything out of the way that's between you two. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people start calling you what you're wrestling with instead of saying, no, he's in love with me. He just hates that thing that's trying to take me down. Our distance from the one who loves us is only measured not in feet, not in inches, not in miles. It's measured in sin. Mm. The more sin, the more distance. You see, God is in love with the sinner. God loves you. He just hates the thing that's in between you and him, that separates intimacy with him, you and him. He'll forgive it all. He loves you so much, he gave his son for that opportunity. It's so important for us to be sons and daughters of God. And a true son and daughter of God understands that no matter what, no matter how, no matter our loss because of sin or someone else's sin towards us, that God loves us and God loves them. Therefore, we love God and we love others. Therefore, to win the objects, mankind, of God's affection, we must make sure we let them know how much he loves them and why sin is preached against. It's the divider between him and them. And he so desperately wants to be with you, he will shake the world to let you know he loves you and he will forgive you. and he'll restore the years the locusts had devoured. And that's why all those religious mouths are trying to ridicule you and condemn you, because Satan's got their tongue going, no, you can't go to him. I'm jealous of the love that he has for you. I was thrown out of heaven because I wanted to be him. And don't you love him? And I don't want you to know the love he has for you. And then so he condemns you. He ridicules you. And God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. 1 John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, John says it in the letter he's writing to the church. He says, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this perspective, we've got to get this perspective. If not, you're going to sound like a jerk. You know, God's given you a love letter to deliver to somebody, and all you talk about is all the things that divide them from God's love, and you don't talk about them and that God loves them and God wants to spend time with them, and it's all about their intimate relationship, and God don't want to go between. You don't want you to be a go-between. He wants a personal relationship with them. And so this gross darkness is covering the earth, and you can just see it just kind of trying to defeat the very one thing that God loves. It's so important for us to do this one simple thing, and this is our driving force, and it's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission of everything else hangs on this. Everything in all creation hangs on this one thing I'm about to tell you. It's very simple, church. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the same.
Wow. I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. VFNU.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that. That's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we were just listening to Who Does God Love? You know, there's a big difference, a huge difference between religion and love. A huge difference. And religion is just an outward appearance. It's just religious practices that have the appearance. But let me tell you, there's no God in it. Right. It's just religious activity void of love. And if we're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors, I mean, God calls us to be his ambassadors on the face of this earth. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank. Mm. He's sent from one nation to another as their representative. That's the highest person in that nation that represents the nation in which they came from. And if we're supposed to be God's representatives on the face of this earth, we're supposed to be the ambassadors, the diplomat, if you will. I think this is an important revelation to have, since love is the motivating factor of God.
All right.
For God so loved the world, not loved, but so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we should have an understanding and a grasp of who it is that God came to die for, that he came to redeem, that he came to win back. And what happens is that oftentimes we get stuck. We get stuck in a mindset. We get stuck in a prejudice. We get stuck in the ugliness of sin. We allow our environment. We allow our upbringing. We allow a stinking thinking and warp strongholds to stick around, to stay around. And these strongholds were meant to be demolished. These wrong patterns of thinking, a pride, is supposed to be demolished before God. And so you can't say you love God and hate your brother.
Right.
Jesus said that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. And so when we're not loving, we're not godding somebody.
Right.
Kind of messes up the whole thing here. You know what I'm saying? We need to possess this virtue of love. And one of the worst things we could ever do to anyone is withhold God's love. God's love is something that we should give freely. And we shouldn't start regulating and say, well, I'm going to love this person and not love that person. And start get back to 1 Corinthians 13 love. We had to come back and start defining what love is. And not have such a loosey definition of love. Let's define love biblically, the way it needs to be defined, and measure yourself by that standard, not by your own standard. You know, because sometimes your standard does not measure up to what God's standard is.
Right.
So we need to be honest with ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to check our hearts. We need to see if we withheld love, and do we have anything in our nature, anything on our hard drive, anything from our background and old stinking thinking about people, about their sin? I'm telling you, I mean, if Mother Teresa said that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them.
Right.
I mean, that's profound. If you spend all your time criticizing people in this world and what their sin is and what they're involved in and how God hates that, it's like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, before you take the speck out of that person's eye, you got to be willing to deal with the plank, the log, the tree, the forest, in your own, you know? The thing is that are you just as zealous when you start talking about other people's sins? Are you just as zealous when you're talking about them as you are when you're dealing with your own?
Mm-hmm.
Are you that aggressive when that, you know, I got to deal with this in my life? If there's a difference, then that's not right. You know, because we're getting into the place where just criticizing and judging, and if you're judging, you're not loving.
Right.
You're not loving. And so we want to get back. We want to get back to the true motive of God's heart. I mean, listen, in Romans 5:6 is this, 6-8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we didn't make ourselves lovable.
As if we could.
You know? as if we could. God just looked at us and says, I love him. I just love him. I just love him. And if we embrace what God has done, if we embrace that same mindset, if you will, we're going to be appropriate ambassadors. We can't truly represent God if we don't have a good understanding of love. And who does he love?
Right.
Can you imagine? I'm Christ's ambassador. He loves you guys, but I'm not too sure about... I have to check with him if he loves you.
I'll get back with you.
No. You just rid off a whole part of the world. You just rid off a whole part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And religion will do that. Religion, spirit of religion on you will say, oh, that's just wicked.
Right.
God hates that. Let me tell you, God hates all sin. Don't get into measuring.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When we understand that God loves all of mankind, then we'll get our stinking thinking off of it and say, God, change my heart. Give me your heart. Help me to love the way you love. Give me the eyes of compassion like you have compassion. You know, it's amazing how we can have so much compassion when we're going through something, but where that compassion lacks for somebody else.
Exactly.
And it's like, Lord, help me to have your heart for people. One of the greatest things that we need in this hour is a true heart of compassion. Mm-hmm. A true heart of compassion to really see what people are going through and what happened in their life. Everybody has a story. Everyone didn't arrive at a situation there by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And be careful before you put your mouth on it, because you're judging what God created.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's what God created. So remember, who does God love? He loves everyone. So if he loves them,
then we gotta love
them. What I want to talk about, guys, I want to talk about the rewarded secret life. Did you know that there's a good secret life you're supposed to have? You know, sometimes you hear about a secret life, you're thinking, did you know that person had a secret life? And they associate that secret life with a bad thing.
Right.
But you know, there's a good secret life to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not supposed to be known by anybody.
Right.
It's a secret. Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. Matthew 6 tells us all about it. In fact, Jesus encourages us as believers, as Christians, as followers, as ambassadors, as sons and daughters of God and the family of God. God encourages us to do a lot of things, mainly everything out of love. But he encourages us to give to the needy.
Mm-hmm.
He encourages us to pray. And he encourages us to fast. These are things that should be part of our life. This is who we are. Because this is what the Lord instructs of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be givers. We're supposed to be people of prayer, of communion, people that talk with God. We have a relationship with him. And we're supposed to be people that fast, that we deny ourselves food for the purposes of just drawing closer to God, to kill our flesh so that we can just, it's a way of offering our lives to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can hear him and obey him better. And Jesus is more concerned about the motives of what we do than the righteous acts themselves.
Right.
You know, because sometimes, you know, with a religious bent, we could say, okay, God wants us to do this. Check, 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 check.
All right.
But God said, hey, hold your horses now. Slow your roll. I'm saying, back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much what you do, but it's the why of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're doing the right thing, it doesn't mean that you're right and that it's acceptable to God. I mean, you start offering sacrifices, obedience is better than sacrifice. You just can't just be doing stuff just to do stuff. It's why are you doing that? Why are you giving? You know, what's the reason? What are the motives behind what you're doing? And God's always looking at the motives. He's looking at what's at the core of our heart. What's behind the thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not We're not supposed to question people's motives. That's what God does. He's the one that's looking at our hearts. We're supposed to take people at face value. But God is the only one who can actually question our hearts. Right? He's looking. He's looking. He's looking at the motives. The first thing he tells us in terms of righteous acts and Matthew 6:1, he says, be careful. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by men.
Right.
That's religious. That's having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's doing religious acts for the praises of men. It says, be careful. Do not do your acts of righteousness, your good deeds, mm-hmm. before men to be seen by men. Look at me. I'm doing such a nice thing. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm giving alms to the poor. Look at me. It's like, no. We're not doing this for the eyes of men. Jesus tells us we shouldn't do these things for that purpose. And it's significant. It's a significant issue amongst many believers, you know, because we've got to grow in the place of the why, the motives, the real reason. We're not going after God to check off a box. We're not going after God to say, we've done these 10 things off the list. And look, I'm good. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my son about motives. My youngest son, Isaiah, he came down this morning and saw that he was abiding. And he's on a roll, you know.
Yeah.
God touched him at the One Thing conference. And he's just like, you know, counting the days. And this is his sixth day in a row, he told me, or something. He's abiding with God. And
He
checked this out. He abides with God before he eats breakfast. Because he says, Dad, if I eat breakfast, I'll lollygag. So he said, I'll lollygag around and mess around. And then I'll be too late. I got to go to school. And then I'll forget or something.
Yeah. Which one's this?
This is Isaiah. It's my youngest son. So he's abiding. And he's writing in his journal. We're talking about what the Lord showed him, and I just felt led in my heart to talk with him and say, hey, you know that God doesn't love you more because you're abiding. I mean, I know this is so cool. I know you love abiding and, you know, just being touched right now, and it's encouraging you. But it's important for me to speak to him about why he's doing what he's doing. Because if he thinks that he is abiding and that's, well, you know, Dad loves abiding. Dad's always talking about abiding. So, you know, this is going to give me points with my dad, or this is going to give you points with God.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to see that I'm doing more gooder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, no. And the analogy I gave him, I said, do you remember when you were in elementary school and when you did good that day, the teacher gave you a star for every day of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would do your behavior right so that you can get a star. And it's like, you know what? With God, you already have all the stars.
Right.
Your whole month is already filled up. He already loves you. You're not abiding and you're not spending time with the Lord so that God could say, oh, I love you now because you're spending time. God already loves you. You're spending time with God just because you love him. You're not earning anything or you're not trying to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real important. I mean, it's huge. So we talked about it. He's like, yeah. He was getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could be doing all of this abiding, and many people are doing these things. They're doing seemingly good acts. They're doing the right thing with the wrong heart. And guess what? You're going to get the wrong results. You're going to get into works. That's not going to last. And I want him to have a relationship with God. I just don't want him to read the Bible just because, right?
Right.
God doesn't want that for us.
Yeah,
because Dad said so. It was just because God says so. God wants us. This is a loving relationship. This is a get to, not a got to.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
So motives are so important. And Jesus says, you know, if we do this before men, it's the quickest way that we lose out on God's future rewards. I was like, oh, well, you'll get your reward from men. If that's what you want, that you've got your reward. You're not getting a reward in heaven for that, but you got your reward.
Right.
And I don't want men's reward. I don't want the prestige of men. I don't want that. I want God's reward, right?
Right.
In verse 3 he says, however, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
In secret. where no one knows about it. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Man, we're talking about the rewarded secret life. That God has rewards for us. And sometimes we don't know, we forget. Mm-hmm. But God wants to reward us. God, there's a way of there's a why behind what we're doing. Mm-hmm. God says, hey, take care of the needy, give to the needy. But don't, you know, pat yourself on the chest for what you did. Don't go out and tell others. Don't brag about it. And believe you me, this may not seem like elementary to you, but let me tell you that there's a lot of subtle ways that people do a lot of padding. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we got to really check the motive of our hearts. Why would I do that? Why would you do that? Are we looking for the praises of men? Jesus warns us about being a hypocrite. He says those that do that are being hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And what a hypocrite is, a person who professes beliefs or opinions that he or she does not hold in order to conceal his or her real feelings or motives. And I'll say that again. A person who professes beliefs or opinions that he or she does not hold in order to conceal his or her real feelings or motives. It's like, at the truth of it, are you really giving to God because giving to the needy because you have compassion for them and God, what does God love? And I start judging them, so I'm going to start just blessing a needy person,
right?
Because I want to show the love of God. Or, you know, God said to do this, so, you know, I'm going to get some points with people that esteem that. It's not how I really feel, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that people take enough time to be honest with themselves to really see what is operating on their heart. You know, sometimes in your computer, and you turn on your computer, you have a lot of programs that are operating in the background that are not seen to the average eye.
Right.
And so you don't know what's going on. I mean, your computer's functioning, you hit a button and something happened, but you don't know that there's a program unseen to you that you didn't open up, but it's still operating your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look, there's places you can look and you can know exactly what's running on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we need to check our heart. We need to check what's running in the back of our computer, in our heart, that causes us to do certain things. You got to look a little bit deeper beyond the surface. And sometimes you got to ask God to shine the light of his word, to shine the light of his truth. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me what is at the core of my heart. Am I really doing this with the most purest motives? Because you know what? You are going to get rewarded, but the question is the size of your reward.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, my goodness, at the end of the day, that's going to be sad. You know, it's like, okay, here, come get your 5 pennies. What? But we did the same thing. We both gave to the needy. We both prayed. We both fasted. We all did it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's your 5 pennies. Here's your, you know, whatever. It's like, but we did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. But I saw your heart. I saw your hearts were different. Your hearts were different.
Yeah.
Verse 5 talks about when you pray. When you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. Right?
Right.
When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. Are you really praying 30 minutes here before we eat? Or is this really, really happening? I have a saying when we pray for food, it's like, this is not the time to catch up with your prayer life right now, okay? This is not the time to do that. This is done in secret.
Right.
In secret. And that's important. You know what I'm saying? We won't do this right now. But it's like, are you really praying forever here?
Right, exactly.
Like, what's happening? what's going on here?
Right.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. But instead, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We're talking about the rewarded secret life. Mm. There are things that God wants you to do just to him. Are you willing to minister to the audience of one? Are you willing to do things that are not seen by anybody but God? Because your motives at the core of your heart, you want to love him.
Right.
You want to honor him. And it's like if most of our prayers are done publicly and not privately, that's a concern.
Yeah.
If the only time we worship God is in public, our greatest worship experience is when we come together collectively.
Mm.
Is that the greatest worship experience? I think God wants us to see him in the secret place. God, there's a blessing. There's a reward when you go after God in secret. And when you close the door and you say, God, it's just me and you. Mm. That I don't need a group of people. I just want to spend time with you.
Mm.
It's the greatest opportunity that we have, that God the Father allows us to have access to him. Open door policy any single time that we can talk to God. Mm. It's one of the greatest underutilized privileges a believer has.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do it in secret so that God can reward you? If he didn't reward you, be beautiful to do. But God rewards you with more of his presence, you know, more revelation. He brings, you have the ability to understand, and it gives you more wisdom and more revelation. It's like, oh God, this is so wonderful. He says, in your presence, there's this fullness of joy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. But you got to go in the secret place. I'll never forget what somebody said, and I kind of adopted this saying, and I just say this often because it encourages me, and I believe it encourages others. But you know, you can have as much God as you want.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't ration himself out. He doesn't say, you can only have a little bit of me.
Right.
You can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want?
Mm-hmm.
We can have as much as we want, right? So we pray in secret. Verse 16 talks about when you fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, as they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. How you doing? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm being spiritual right now. Right. I'm denying my flesh.
Right.
But when you fast, put on oil on your head, put on some makeup. If you're a female, wash your face, brush your teeth, please. I mean, I'm just adding that in there, right? Wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who sees what is done in secret so that he can reward you.
Right.
I mean, God wants us to join him again in the rewarded secret life. You know, and whatever the Lord asks us to do, it must be done with pure motives in order to be received by God. I mean, this is just so good. So, you know, we got to be willing. We got to be willing to do the right thing with the right motives. Jesus didn't come to have, he didn't die so that he can have religious hypocrites.
Right.
Jesus died so that he can have followers. So he could have people that would love him. So he have people that would just do what, you know, for God. In fact, Titus 2:14 says Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. He came for a people that would live for him, for a people who would want to live for him, to do the right thing for the right reasons out of the love of God. Fully aware that his eyes are upon them. Let me tell you something. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, do it for the eyes of one. Go do it in a secret place so that God can reward you. That is the place that the Lord is looking. He's like, is he in a secret place? Is she in her secret place? Let me tell you, you want to find God? You want to go to another place in God? Join him in the secret place, and he'll reward you.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.